It's one thing he is notorious for in the comics is he will sleep with everybody.
And anything.
It makes you wonder how well does he know the city of London?
I mean, I don't think he's ever had the same experience, but now he's like, well, maybe I can. Maybe now I know. I can have sex with every city.
I'm gonna go find London.
Hello and welcome to Movie
Smash!
Hello and welcome to Movie Smash, the show where we dive headfirst into comic book movies. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. If you've been here before, you know the drill. Each episode, we're going to smash a movie whose source material is from a graphic novel or a comic. Is it worth revisiting? Should it be forgotten? Let's find out. This is Movie Smash. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Roberts. I'm the founder of All Panel Creations. With me today, I have a man who has invited me to way too many demon parties, Jeremy Parmentier.
I'm dumbfounded. I'm Jeremy from also the Retrovaniacs podcast, and I did not expect to be watching a movie where bats fly out of somebody's ass.
Also with us this evening, she's been fighting way too many of her tiny mini demons of her own, Lori Calcaterra.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lori Calcaterra, and I sometimes wonder about what I'm watching.
That is the secret goal of our show, confusion,
yeah.
Lori.
Yeah. But I love that feeling when I'm watching a movie. I hate being bored, and I hate watching stuff that I've, you know, seen a million times in its old hat. This was new, and it was great. I enjoyed it.
Our movie tonight is 2018's Constantine City of Demons, starring Matt Ryan, Laura Bailey, Robin Atkin-Downs, and directed by Doug Murphy.
We're messing with deep, dark magic here.
This could destroy my city. I need your demons to fight these demons.
I'm gonna need a weapon.
Remember what you said about sacrificing anything for Trish? Did you mean it?
Yes!
If there's one thing I've learned over the years, is that there are no happy endings. There never are. There's always a price to pay.
Jesus, John! Are you all right?
No. But I'm alive, and that's got to count for something, right?
It's another animated movie for us. We've done a lot of animated movies lately.
I'm not complaining. I'm enjoying all of them.
So this is another Constantine piece, and we did Constantine with Keanu Reeves back, a year or so ago, I guess.
Yeah.
So since that time, I don't think, Jeremy, you were familiar too much with the Constantine character, like you had heard of him, but you weren't too familiar with any sort of his material. Have you since then tried reading anything about him?
I mean, he's been a character in other things I've read. There's other things in the DC universe where he comes in. I read like the Jenny Sparks series that came out. He was in that as a short moment. So like he's been in things, but not a full Constantine book. I need to. I just haven't.
Yeah. The last thing I read with him in it was Green Hell. It was a short series from the Black Label. Really good. And I probably just ruined it for people I've seen it because he was a surprise character about in the second issue.
Oops.
But that's what I'm here to do is spoil things for people. So for this movie, though, was this the first time you guys saw it?
Yes, this was new to me. And even though it's, I had earlier said, oh, it's new and exciting. Yeah, it's from 2018. However, it's new to me. So it's still technically new. This was my first watch through and I was pleasantly surprised. I really was.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, except that I've liked these other DC animated movies. This one's definitely different. It's a different tone than the other DC animated movies. But it was an interesting watch on the first time I've seen it.
This is probably my third or fourth watch of the movie.
Yes. Okay. So if you guys don't know who Constantine is, it's a character that's from DC Comics. He actually was created by Alan Moore. Constantine is a former ongoing comic book series published by DC Comics, which started in March of 2013. And it features an English magician, John Constantine. And it was reestablished into the DC universe and replaces the former Vertigo Comics title, Hellblazer. When that ran for 300 issues in 25 years, which is incredible. And originally, the character was created by Alan Moore in the 1980s, made his first appearance in Swamp Thing. And then, the series got mixed reviews, but eventually it got kind of rebooted. What I thought was really interesting about what we watched is that I didn't realize that the voice of this character actually had like a standalone TV series called Constantine on the CW. He had moonlighted into, I think, Arrow, I want to say. And then they got their own spinoff. Unfortunately, it only went for one season. It was like, when were you? like 2014. 2014, 2015 is when the series ran. And then eventually it just didn't get renewed. So it's just interesting to see like the actual blonde John Constantine as opposed to like the Keanu Reeves version, which everybody is, I think, more. It's weird that they're more familiar with that in mainstream than, you know, unless you're a comic book reader or you watch the DC animations, because he's been in there, obviously.
Oh, very true. Yeah, the voice actor, he's been Constantine for many runs and other animated movies as well. But before we start getting into that, this is your first time joining us, just a quick heads up. And we're about to discuss certain elements of this movie that would probably be considered spoilers. But if you're into horror and you're into sort of like the occult, well, that's what we're going to talk about today, really. So consider yourself warned. Jeremy, what happens in this movie?
Sure. The setup for this movie is John Constantine is contacted by an old friend of his, Chaz, who apparently used to be in a band together. All this, they kind of get to the background of how Constantine first ran into these demons, which I didn't know his background. I don't know if that's the same as the comic or not, but it starts out here and it's done as a flashback, which is nice. It's not the first hour of the movie. It's a flashback explains that. Anyway, Chaz has reached out to him after a long time because his daughter is very, very sick. Doctors can't figure out what's wrong with her, but he knows enough about his time with Constantine that he thinks it's probably something demonic. So he calls him to come help him. Turns out it is something demonic. And then it starts them on a trip to Los Angeles, where Constantine is forced to battle some demons to try to save his friend's daughter.
And that pretty much sums it up. I mean, and yes, it's kind of an origin story. Like, they do hint at his origin a little bit, but also, I don't think that's the first time he used magic either, was in those flashbacks, because I think they said he's been using it since he's been a kid. And I think in the comics, they're kind of elusive on where Constantine learned all this stuff. He's really meant to be like that blue-collar magician, if that makes any sense. So we kind of allude to that there was a Keanu Reeves movie that came out, and then we've got this kind of Constantine. Between those two, which do you guys like the best?
I don't know, because I love Keanu Reeves. He's my boyfriend.
Does he know that?
No, he absolutely doesn't even know I exist. However, you gotta love Keanu. And I mean, like, that, I think I would probably be upset about that movie now knowing what this character looks like, talks like, acts like, because Keanu was very loosely based on this character. But because it's Keanu, I can't be mad. I don't know. I love them both.
Yeah, they're different. And I would like to, I did not watch the live action Constantine show. I'd like to see how well that actually handles this material, because the stuff that happens in this, if it wasn't animated, would have cost billions of dollars. So yeah. I'm not quite sure how they would have pulled it off as a non-animated series. So I imagine the actual series is probably, like anything else in the CW, probably pretty unimpressive, but maybe not. Maybe it's incredible. I assume it was not, since it was one season, but we'll see. I would like to check it out. But this version of Constantine in this animation, I did quite like. It's just different, but I also love the Keanu Constantine, which I guess everyone did, right? That's why there's talk of kind of having two different Constantines, continuities. So, but no, this the animated version of this Constantine has a lot more ability, you can see, and it's got a much heavier pull into demons being more what you'd consider like giant cartoonishly demonic demons. And in the live action, it was more like possessions.
Yeah, and the live action was very much a story of, I think, heaven versus hell. However, this, heaven's not even ever really brought up. It's just there is hell, and hell wants to open a franchise.
And where's a better place to do it than Los Angeles? Right.
It makes perfect sense.
But there's weird other characters too. There's not just demons. Yes. There's other characters roaming around.
Yeah. And that's what I was about to say was, speaking of Los Angeles, we have the character who is Los Angeles.
Yeah. She's an interesting, I say she, but it's not really any one person. So this character of Angela can take on any body. She can inhabit a body and walk around in it for a time. And so throughout the you see these characters have this like flash in their eyes, and all of a sudden they're acting a certain way, and it flashes again, and then they're back to themselves. So it's really interesting to kind of see this embodiment of this city, this energy that the city has, kind of have its own consciousness and move around and make decisions and do some other things with John Constantine.
One thing he is notorious for in the comics is he will sleep with everybody.
And anything.
You wonder how well does he know the city of London?
He kind of hints at it, right? I mean, I don't think he's ever had the same experience, but now he's like, well, maybe I can. Maybe now I know I can have sex with every city.
I'm going to go find London.
Yeah, I think there was even a run where he dated King Shark at one point.
Come on.
That supposedly he is notorious for this. I have not read all of Constantine's stuff. All I've really seen his stuff is from the animated movies, as well as his appearances in other things like Green Hell. But yeah, I heard that there's even like a run where he was, you know, hinted that he dated King Shark at one point. And for
That's
those for you listening right now, when I got that wrong, please send in your hate mail. The first sort of surreal or supernatural character we're actually introduced to is actually the Night Nurse.
Yeah.
What do you think of her?
I don't know if she has a lot of, like, I don't know that character, right? So I don't know if she was somebody that has been in the books and you'd recognize her. It seemed like he just knew enough, like, I don't want to say demons, but otherworldly individuals he could call for help. He's like, oh, I think I know someone who can help me. Summons her in. She then stays and kind of helps almost like a telephone with him as he goes throughout the Los Angeles, because that's not where the kid is. So it's, she's an interesting tie to keep him in contact with the family, or with the wife, I guess, and the daughter. But I don't know if she's got other, like, she just seemed to be very good at kind of channeling. I'm not sure what else she does.
Yeah, and I have to question her motives. Like, why would he just call her in to be a nurse to a child? She's obviously a demon. She loses her facade at some point, and you can see what she actually is, and it's terrifying. And it's like, that's what you call to take care of a kid. Terrifying. So why does he trust that thing, her? I don't know what you call these things, demons.
Yeah.
Why do you trust her? And like, what's her motivation and why is she helping you? And also, did he sleep with her? I mean, we're going to assume
he
yes.
probably did. Oh, well, he did. 100%. He did, because
she talked about it.
Yeah.
I missed that part.
Yeah. She even said that you're not that good.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
she
right.
That
she did.
Yeah. She was with, she bothered, he bothered her while she was in a threesome and they were
that's
both
right.
better than he was.
Yes. Yeah. That's
and it was
right.
with a dryad and a, I forgot what the other thing was.
I don't know. Milkman.
And the milkman. But to Lori, to their point, in the comics and in Jeremy Tutu's, in the comics, it's in all the other shows as well. It's he knows these various demons that are out there through his interaction. He often does this where like he pulls something out of his ass. He's like, I know this one person that'll help me out. And yeah, you know, because and with the demon world, there are all these demons that are very hyper specific on what their realm is and what they do. And she even says, like, I took a vow to, you know, to help the defenseless. And she hates it. No, she even says, she's like, no, I don't know why I took that vow, but no. Vows are important to them, and she may have been tricked into that. I don't know, but yeah, she has like a purple nurse's outfit.
Well, and
purple
all these demons,
nurse.
Definitely, at least for cartoons. But they also don't like each other, right? These demons clearly are working against each other at all times. I mean, not just her, but everybody seems to be like, oh yeah, well, you want me to help, you know, hurt this other demon? I'm in. Like, it does. They don't seem to need a lot of motivation other than to not help this other demon.
Yeah, what was the big bad? Is that Barul?
Hmm. Yeah, Barul or Nurgle, right? Isn't it two different names, depending
yeah.
on...
Yeah, and he wants yeah, to set up form. A franchise. In fact, that's why he's trying to get Constantine's help, is to go kill off five other demons.
Right. To be the mob boss of soul-sucking or whatever it is they want to call.
Right.
And yeah, there is no... Yeah, I think you're right. It's more like the mob, or more like they all get their territories and they don't like to share whatsoever. They're not on the same team, these demons.
No. No, they're all trying to build their own hells, right? And so it's crime family for souls.
And the other last real sort of major character, I think, in the movie is his buddy, his friend, the guy that has pulled him into this.
Yeah, Chaz.
Chaz.
Yeah. How'd you feel about Chaz?
I mean, he's there to drive the story forward. He's got the connection to his past, which is there, but he doesn't have the same skills. He doesn't have magic. He's not otherworldly. He just knows this guy that he's, you know, not talked to in a long time for the... Kind of getting to some of their background, I guess. They, aside from the actual incident after that, apparently, like at his wedding, he threw up on his mom or something like that. I forgot what the story was, but it's just like, yeah, you're bad news. I don't talk to you anymore. But I know in this case, I need help, and you're the only person I can reach out to. And we grew up together, like they were like brothers. So I liked him for what he was. Also, when he does try to intervene, and it's kind of reminded, like, yeah, no, you don't have any powers. They just snapped your fingers and you vanished. Like, that's it.
Yeah, he's put on top of the observatory.
Yeah, they put him on the roof. Crap.
The one thing I failed to mention about Night Nurse, I think Jeremy, you were asking like what her purpose was. I think her purpose really was to give us exposition, because she gets the information out of the mother about how to find more about Constantine's backstory. And that's really, I think, done for us as an audience, you know, to find out why they have this connection. And I think with Chaz, like, it's that relationship you have with certain friends where you guys are, you know, you're assholes to each other, but at the end of the day, you know, you have each other's back.
Yeah. Years later, you guys do a podcast where you talk about movies together.
Yeah, that hits at home.
That must be a gender thing, because I don't understand.
Hey, like 20 years go by and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, let's do a podcast.
So why not? Let's do that. But the other thing for the flashback is, and you don't realize that at this time, but there is the demon that's kind of behind this is also tied to this backstory. So you don't just get the tie between these friends, between Chaz and John Constantine, but you also have this tie to this demon that you didn't realize early on and you don't know at the time how connected he is to this story.
Yes.
Yeah, so why don't we jump into actual scenes? So how'd you feel about that reveal?
It's fitting for John Constantine. It's like everything is his fault. And I feel like, you know, just from the few things that I've seen, he's always like, he's the dog that gets kicked. He wins and he loses at the same time. He can never just get an outright win. So when this demon reveals itself, that's the one, and I'm going to spoil it here, that he brought into this plane. And he was trying to solve something and it backfired. And so, again, this demon keeps showing up like a bad penny and causing problems in his life. And John Constantine is like, has to own it. Like, that's the dude that I brought here. It's my fault.
And that demon's the one who took his friend's daughter's soul because he knew it would get John's attention. So John could help him take out all these other demons. Like, so it is his fault. Like, this is all ties back to this incident that's the flashback. But really, it all ties back to John.
Yeah, and I love that scene where he sort of takes off the suit.
It's so gross. He's so gross.
The skin suit sort of throws it to the side. And you're right, Lori, I think you're right. It's in all the Constantine stories, it's sort of whenever he wins, he's actually lost. But he's also like a few steps ahead of everybody else. Like he has these plans and he's very intelligent about if I do this, I set this up, I'm going to get them. Like, you know, we'll get to the trap in a bit. But the thing is, it's always like at a cost that is massive. It always costs him. He never goes forward. It's kind of like in the movie with Keanu Reeves, like his whole thing was, you know, he wants to sacrifice himself and then they decide not to. It takes the cancer out just so he lives, which is not what he wanted.
Right. He wanted to go to heaven. But if he hadn't kind of in the movie, of course, he commits suicide the first time as a young man. And that's how he got to experience hell. And then he's on this mission. But again, he's the one soul that Satan would come to earth to collect himself. So again, it all kind of ties together where it's like every time he does something, it's usually for other reasons and it backfires. And it's just like, gosh, dang it.
Like he plans for what's a worst case scenario, right? He has these plans that he's like, I know I can win with this, but I know it's bad. Like I can probably succeed, but there's too many drawbacks. What else won't work? And then those things never work, right? The other things you try to do that might help don't. And he has to pull the thing he's had in his back pocket that ultimately it may not backfire as bad as summoning a demon that 20 years later takes your friend's daughter or whatever, but it always has a downside, including the ultimate solution to this movie, which I won't say yet, but that, you know, he's planned for something that he doesn't want to use. So he is ahead of everybody, but it's like, I wish I wasn't ahead of everybody on this. I wish I was wrong.
Yeah.
We haven't watched this movie yet, but like he's the reason the Crisis on Infinite Earth is happening. He's the reason why, you know, the Justice League, you know, apocalypse happens. Like he's behind all this stuff and he always goes into it with very good intentions, but he cannot win. And he seems always so beaten up, like just emotionally. Like it's I don't even feel like he just doesn't care.
He's just tired. He seems exhausted.
Yes, but I think that being tired and being like, I think that's like part of his character. That's his core where he's just like, I'm not going to win. He's like, I might win this scenario, but it's going to suck for me and probably for everybody else. But that's just it. So then he just pulls out another cigarette and lights up.
I was going to say, he smokes a lot of cigarettes, a lot of cigarettes.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview with the people behind this movie, and they're talking about how he was originally designed to be, like I said, a blue-collar wizard, but his design comes from Sting.
Well, that makes sense.
Wrestler? Just his look and everything.
Mm-hmm. Wrestler? Sting?
Or musician.
The artist Sting? Okay. That makes more sense.
Obviously, since you guys have not seen this movie, so I imagine you went into it saying it's a DC animated movie, and then this movie dials it up to 11 on the horror and the body horror. At what point did that happen to you? Did you go, what am I watching?
For me, it was the party. The party. When John Constantine got to L.A., he got to where Baral, he was currently in the body of Baral, where he was. And he had just a pool of dead bodies. And I was like, all right, that's kind of gross. But the party, and they had like forced humans to dance. But it wasn't just that. They were playing human bodies as instruments. Mm-hmm. Some of them were dead. Some of them were still alive and being like electrocuted on a harp. And then, like, the whole movie scene where he's like, I love old black and white movies, and, like, would throw a person through a portal on the screen. They would get sucked into this, like, old-timey black and just terrible things would happen. People getting eaten, people getting killed, people getting torn to shreds. And yeah, I was just like, all right, I think we've crossed that line. And we have gone further than I've ever had in an animation before. Wow. So that was the moment for me where I was just like, okay, this is something different.
Yeah, it was that sub-party scene. That was where the ass bats were. That's where all the stuff that was like, you told me ahead of time, Chris, you're like, oh, I don't remember which movie it was. I thought it was Devilman or something like that. You're like, oh, it's a lot like these old anime movies we used to watch or whatever. It was like, okay. And that made sense. Like that scene was like, yeah, okay, now I see it. I see those ties because that would have fit perfectly into those worlds.
Yeah, I think it was like, I said it was like Wicked City or something.
Wicked City, yeah. It was one of those that I know I'd seen a bunch in, you know, post-high school that I hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah, they definitely didn't hold back. And I think, Jeremy, you mentioned there's even a scene where a guy's bent over and a bunch of bats come out of his ass.
Yeah, I mentioned it a few times.
I was like, is that the new bat signal?
And I do like the pool scene because it is kind of like I said, it's been years since it was the first time I've watched this movie. So watching it again, it's like, oh, it's the pool scene. But I like how he says like, oh, I'm not taking a bath yet. It's got to sort of settle a little bit. It's got to ferment.
They have to liquefy the bodies first.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, the smell must be great.
What are the scenes after that sort of stood out to you guys?
So after that and after the reveal of who the demon really is, then he's in LA and he's trying to figure out what to do. And that's when he kind of meets Angela the first time for real. Like he's met her with the flashing blue eyes, but you're not quite sure what that is at that point. But that kid kind of says, go to this bar. And he goes to the bar and he meets Angela, where you think it's her body, although who knows. But it's a body that's appealing. It's an appealing female body. And that's when she takes him to the bathroom and he has sex with the city of Los Angeles while she tells him what she needs him to do or whatever.
That's how she teaches a history lesson.
Yeah. But it was just like, I was like, what am I watching? Like that was another, what am I watching?
Yes. That was interesting. I really liked the fight scene between the Mexican old demon of death, god of death, that and the other five demons, like the one that John set up this battle.
The trap.
Yeah, I know we haven't talked about it yet, but that was a great, it was actually really good. I thought that he planned it out well, but it was good action and I was interested to see how everything was going to, you know, play out there.
My only disappointment for that was we didn't learn much about the other five demons because I felt like they should have been on the level of, you know, Baral, but we find nothing out about them. Just they show up and they get killed off pretty fast. But yet again, it's one of those things where John Constantine was like thinking ahead of everybody, even ahead of the audience. Like we didn't know what was happening. We just know we had just bottles of, it was a big like 50 gallon drums of holy water. They're spread around that light up to make a trap. Yeah, we have no idea what's going on. He doesn't tell us. That's constant with Constantine. He doesn't tell the audience what his plan is. We just got to figure it out with everybody else.
I mean, that's not uncommon for comic books where there's just like a solution that's there. Like Batman does it, you know, he doesn't tell you ahead of time in the comic, like I'm going to plan to do this. It's just like, no, he has it and it's there and it's ready and it works. So that kind of makes sense. This show originally or movie originally was a web series, I guess. So that's why I was kind of, you know, normally when we see these, we're like, I wish this was a series because we would know more about these demons or whatever. Well, this was a series. We still don't know more about these demons.
Well, it was a web series it was a web series where the episodes were 6 minutes long.
That's pretty hard to follow.
I was going to say, when you put it all together, it's still only, what was it, an hour and 48 minutes or something?
Yeah.
So. Well, the original webcomic only was 7 or 8 episodes, I think. So it wasn't the full thing. They added more stuff to it.
Yeah.
To make it work. I never saw it as the web series. I only ever saw it as the release. And how'd you guys feel about, so he creates this trap where he kills off the rival demons and then he goes back to Baral and he says, no, I'm changing the deal, right? I'm not releasing the soul and tough luck. You're working for me now, essentially. He then decides Constantine kind of gives up at that point.
Well, I don't know if he gives up or is trying to see what's going to happen next, because again, his plan that might work that he has in his back pocket has downsides, right? So he could do that then. But maybe it's worth to see what other openings may come up before it's, you know, use this nuclear option.
Yeah, I don't know. Constantine, and he probably already predicted that this demon was going to backstab him. It's not something uncommon, I would think, in his realm. So he was just like, yeah, you're changing the deal. Great. You know, and just kind of ignored him just to see what would happen next. You know what I mean? I'm with Jeremy on that, where he's just like, yeah, let's see, just see what happens next.
But again, he also comes across as very tired. So like, I don't know if it's giving up as much as he's just like, of course, like he doesn't know what to do next necessarily. He already expected this to go badly. And this is, maybe he didn't see this part of it going badly, where it's like.
So it's kind of like maybe he hopes his other plans work. I mean, his next idea is to go to the coma ward and use that to lure Baral back out again. And he uses this to create, I guess he, at the time we see it as he's opening these gates to hell to release demons upon Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, sorry, I skipped a part. Remember, he went back when he went back to find out his deal got changed. Angela was there.
Right. I was going to say, wasn't that the part where she was there and she was complicit? And I was like, what? I was like, what was the whole point of telling Constantine to fight for the city, that she wanted the demons out of her city? And then she's just there with Baral, just being like, yeah, no, it's fine.
But her rationale was it one life is worth millions?
Yeah.
So she was very being pragmatic about the solution to it. But then we find later on that what they may not have been her original plan.
Well, because he can't open those portals. Like, even Brutuer was like, yeah, you can't do that. I just realized, like, you don't have the power to do that. And so she was doing that. She was complicit with Constantine. But again, like, you don't know that till it's all happening. There's no hints that that's what's going on.
Yeah, there's no breadcrumbs at all.
No. But I mean, that was smart because he's like, hey, you know, if your problem is that you have competition and that's what you want me to do, fine. He's like, I let them all out. They're all out. Now you have all the competition. Figure it out for yourself. You know, he's like, talk to me when you deal with this.
And then once he realizes Constantine is lying, he doesn't have this power, then Constantine decides to pull that ace out of his back pocket. What was that ace?
It was the love.
Yeah, the power of love, which is like the worst, but at the same time, like.
But it's what it needed, right? That Trish, the girl, there was love, but there wasn't enough to break the spell. So Constantine funneled Chaz's love of them through Baral in order to...
The other way around.
Wait, no, the love of the daughter and the... I forget how it
goes. Yeah, the daughter
and
the wife.
There was channeling of love going one way or the other.
So the channeling
so much
of love is,
channeling going on here.
I don't know.
There he had to erase...
Blue lights.
Yeah, they had to soak up all the love from his daughter and wife for him. So now Chaz does not... His daughter and wife... His wife remembers a one-night stand and his daughter's never met her dad.
Right.
In the world now. He remembers his daughter. He remembers his wife, but he has to now live alone. And they've been divorced, so it's not like, where am I going to go tomorrow? Like, he's already been divorced from his wife, but now she doesn't really remember him at all. The kid doesn't know him at all, which is terrifying, although some days it sounds pretty great. But most days it sounds pretty terrible. And then the second twist that wasn't enough, and he had to take Chaz's like relationship and love for John Constantine away. So now John's lost his best friend ever.
That was it.
And, you know, immediately you see on the table, like his face goes blank. He's like, who are you again? And he was like, yeah, well, I hate you. And then walks out. He's like, yep, I've lost my best friend on Earth, and that's the only way I could have gotten this to work. So that's the downside, right? He did take out this demon, and he was able to save the daughter, but at the cost of this whole family's been blown apart, and he's lost his best friend.
Well, pretty much his only friend.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of demon friends.
That's true. We never talked about
those. Count.
We never talked about his personal demons.
literal personal demons.
Those are interesting.
And they all get wiped out except for one.
And then he's talking to him. He's like, yeah, I'm lonely. Come talk to me. What? Keep me company.
I took that as like the light ending after you had all the other stuff where it's kind of like, man, this was dark. Everyone's life is blown apart. And I was like, but you have this cool demon friend. And that's how you ended on a slightly up note.
This movie clocked in at 90 minutes. Was it long enough for you guys? Did you want more Constantine?
This story is long enough. I didn't need this arc to go any longer. I mean, like you said, we don't know enough about the demons. And while that is more interesting to have that background at the same time, I don't necessarily need that, knowing that, you know, in the comics, there's lots of stories like this where there's all these other demons, or maybe in the live action TV show that I've never watched. Maybe he does a lot of really cool stuff with demons there. So I think I'd like more Constantine, but I didn't need more in this story for this 90 minutes.
I agree. I think it was paced correctly. I think it gave us enough beginning, middle, and end. I wasn't wanting for anything, and I didn't feel like it went on too long. So I think it was the right amount of time.
Yeah, I've seen this movie a couple different times, and it feels like it drags a little bit at times, but that's because I've just seen it so many times. I think it is. I think for someone who's never seen it, they probably wouldn't even notice that at all.
There was no dragging. This flew. It was like, I didn't expect what was going on. I will say, I tried to watch this the first time while I was trying to work, and you do have to pay attention to it. Like, you can't, if you don't know enough about this world, even if you do, I think there's enough going on, you can't just like phase out and come back and kind of know what's going on. I had to restart this movie like 6 times. Eventually, I had to be like, I'm just going to take my lunch and watch this and focus on it. And then after work, I watched the last half an hour because I couldn't try to do 2 things at once. Normally, I can watch, you know, I watch movies all day when I'm working at home because I have ADD, but I like generally, I like to be able to focus on multiple things, but like I couldn't with this. I had to focus on it to follow it. So I don't think there's a lot of dragging at all. I think you have to pay attention or else you're not quite sure what scene to scene, why you're where you are, what's going on.
I agree. I 100% agree with that because I did the same thing. I turned it on and I was trying to like answer emails and I was like, what was that? Who did what? You know, and then, I mean, like that whole scene with the party, there's no dialogue. So if you're not paying attention, you're missing that entire scene with all the gore. So it's, you have to pay attention.
Yeah, like I said, it's probably just because I've seen it so many times. Like I can put this on the background and just go do something else and know what's happening. Mm-hmm. But the I do like, back to that party scene real fast, I like how they splice in actual footage.
For the movie?
For the movie.
And yeah, they, you don't think about that being weird because you're in an animated world and they're watching real movies. I didn't even think about that, but that's pretty cool.
Now, imagine you're talking to somebody and you're trying to introduce them to the character Constantine. Would you introduce them to this Constantine or Keanu Reeves Constantine first?
Honestly, I would pick Keanu Reeves. For if they're not reading DC or into comics, everybody knows Keanu. Everybody. We've all seen The Matrix. Come on. Like, so I would say start here just because that has that star power to kind of draw them in. And then after that, be like, you really liked that? Well, you would really love this too. And then introduce him to the DC character through the animations, because all the DC animation stuff is great, 100%. So
yeah, it's a hard question because I also learned about this character really through the movie that Keanu Reeves made, which I loved. So it's hard to say like which is better. I will say that for people that aren't into comics at all, or at least the animated DC universe, like what Laurie just said, this it would be a hard sell to start with this. I think it's much easier to go with the Keanu Reeves version because one is Keanu Reeves. Everyone likes Keanu Reeves. And it fits in with that era Keanu Reeves, the Matrix era, the you know, that kind of setting where everyone's like, oh, you want to see a Keanu Reeves action movie? It's got these cool demons and stuff in it, too. I think people would like that. Where this, there's so much of that going on that if you're not into this sort of thing, you're immediately like, no, I'm out. I mean, the sex scene, I guarantee if I watch this with my wife, she'd have gotten to the sex scene and be like, what are you making me watch? Because it is like out of nowhere. She's like, so she's having sex with the city in a bathroom. You know what? I have better things to do.
I mean, how many times are you able to watch a person having sex with the entire city? I don't think it's been done in any other movie.
You know, Debbie Does Dallas. It's a whole city. It's a timely reference, Jeremy. Well done. Timely.
When it comes to this movie, guys, what do you love about it? What could they have done better?
More gore? Like,
yeah, no, I think it was the right level of everything. I mean, like the gore was there and it kind of takes you off guard. Because we didn't see anything like that until that scene. So it kind of took me off guard. I don't think more gore would have made it better. I think it was the right amount of gore. It was the right amount of story. I wouldn't have changed this. I think it was well written. You know, last time we were together, I was angry about the fight scene. But I think this one was well done. I think it was everything it needed to be. Do you think that we needed more information on any of the characters, Jeremy? Like you kind of said you needed more about the demons. I didn't really feel that way, but... what do you think?
It's really just the nurse demon, right? The one that came to help. I would like to know a little more about their connection. I mean, she does give some, and Chris is right. I think her purpose of giving that background, getting the background out of the ex-wife of why Constantine doesn't talk about this one thing that happened, right? It's useful for that. But there's, other than that, no, I didn't need a lot of background on the five demons. I like that in general, because it's just neat to see like how they all have their own little, you know, soul mafia set up. You're like, oh, that'd be kind of neat to know. But like, I didn't need it. Necessarily. What I think this did well, I mean, again, this is a harder sell. So I think this is the only thing this would be needing is if you didn't watch any of the other animated series or know who Constantine is, I don't know how you jump into this and in any way know what you're getting into at all. Like there's not any, you know, it starts out with that kind of that dream flashback real quick, I think. And then right after that, there's demons being summoned in his house. You don't have any connotation what that's about. Like there's a lot there that if you don't know the character, you're kind of like, what is this? And it does feel more like something's translated badly. Like there was lots of bad, you know, animated Japanese anime movies that came out in the 80s and 90s. We even here, we don't know what's going on because they're very badly translated. Or it's based on like a 20 series book and it's just, oh, it's book 8. So you're like, what? I don't understand any of what's going on. But it didn't matter because you're like, oh, it looked cool. That's how the start of this is if you don't know this character. It's just a lot happening. You're not quite sure what's going on. You don't know who this guy is. You don't know what his powers are. And it's just a lot. So that's the only thing this does, or I think as a animated series, if you're a fan of the character, I think it's fine. If you don't know this character, it does nothing to help you.
That's a good point. Kind of as an outsider looking in, it would be hard to watch this. Absolutely.
Right. Of all the DC animated movies we watch, you can just jump into any of them and you're fine. Because everyone knows Batman. I refuse to believe there's anyone who doesn't. And even the stuff like when we watch New Frontier, sure, it's a lot of characters you may not know, but the core characters are, and you get the concepts. This was like, it's demons. It's not standard superhero stuff. You're not sure what it is. It's a lot going on.
See, that's one thing I like about this is that you don't have to be a DC fan to watch this movie. I mean, you cannot know anything about the superheroes or Justice League or anything and jump into it, as long as you know you're watching an occult movie. If someone said to you, here's an animated movie, it's about the occult, I think you could enjoy it. I think you could have no idea who Constantine is, and there's that backstory is really not necessary in there. I just think, like I said, it for me, I know, grew up Catholic, love the occult kind of stuff, that this really sort of hit that with me. It's like, it's an occult movie. There are so many horror movies that are like that that are out there right now. You don't have to know all the DC background to enjoy this.
No, I agree with that. But I just think as a standalone movie, this is a hard jump in where, you know, yes, you don't need the DC background, but you don't really need it anyway for this. But if you don't have a background of who this guy is and what he can do, then it really is just like, it might as well be a music video, right? It looks cool. There's a lot of cool stuff going on, but you don't have that connective tissue to explain anything. Again, that's not a complaint necessarily, but you asked what it could do better as a standalone film. That's what I think it would do.
I think we need more gore.
You were desensitized by the amount of gore.
Yeah, well, I've seen the other Constantine movies too, so I'm good.
Gotcha. I was like, really?
Obviously, we had the Keanu Reeves movie, and they're talking about making a second one or a sequel to it. DC Gunn has the whole DCU. Which Constantine would you like to see in the DCU? Would you like to see this Constantine, the traditional Sting Constantine, blonde Manchester, or would you like to see the Keanu Reeves LA Constantine in the DCU?
You mean which one should James Gunn pick?
Yeah, not an Elseworlds story, but like if he wants to bring Constantine to the main continuity, which of the two should he bring in?
Well, if he's going to bring him to the main continuity and he wants eyes on it, bring Keanu, right? Who else is going to get people in the seats?
Yeah, well, but it wouldn't be a standalone Constantine movie. He would be a side character, like in the new Superman, how they have Green Lantern and all these other guys. It would have to be something where Constantine comes in as an ensemble character or another like reference as like a nod to the character. And then it should be this Constantine.
I disagree. It's Keanu 100%. Mm-hmm. All the time.
I think you might be a little biased when it comes to Keanu, though.
Just slightly. But I'm just saying, like, if you could get, you know, the blonde actor, Matt, or you can get Keanu Reeves. Who do you think people are going to show up to see? Even if it's like a stupid little cameo where he shows up at the end smoking a cigarette, people will stay in their seats to see Keanu. I'm just saying. Now, can they afford Keanu dollars? Probably not. Maybe. They got a lot of money.
They do. And he liked the character. I bet he'd do it for minimal money because he liked doing the costume.
And that's true. He is one of those guys that would be like, let's donate my salary to XYZ. He would do it.
I mean, it's always hard to put magic in a superhero, at least for me. I always feel like it's weird to like insert magic into these worlds. So I'm kind of curious how they would do it. I mean, they did it obviously with Doctor Strange. Did you like the reference to that in the movie?
Where was it?
He's in the car chase. He says, you know, who do you think I am? Cumberbatch?
That's right. That's right. That was awesome. I like when they poke jabs at each other.
Well, and it is magic, but it's not. I mean, Doctor Strange is like so magical, where this seemed like it was more demons and stuff. And yes, he does have that like an illusion spell sort of thing, but he's not like, I don't know. Doctor Strange is like heavy magic and summoning and something's bad, but like transportation, all the other stuff you could do that could be, and imagine you could do, Doctor Strange can do, where this was definitely like a demon related power, like pool.
Now, would you guys want to see a TV show about Constantine, like a Dresden File sort of a show?
That's what this reminded me of. That's what I'm wondering if the live action is going to be more Dresden Filesy than Constantine, if the demons will be that heavy, or if it'll be like just a guy who, like, you see his eyes turn yellow and you're like, of course he's a demon, his eyes turn yellow.
Well, I was reading online that they're thinking about doing a series on HBO Max. So there would be, because there's still the DC where they're talking about doing Constantine 2 with Keanu, and then the HBO series, they're talking about more of this Matt actor character, the blonde guy, to be that one. So like you said, there could be two continuities going at the same time. As long as they don't make it a multiverse thing where they like meet each other and blah, blah, blah. Just keep them separate, right? We've already done the multiverse lots of times. Let's be original. That would be cool to have the HBO series be more like Dresden Files, right? I think that would be fun.
And I remember liking Dresden Files, but I bet you if I went back to watch it again, it probably didn't age very well.
Have it be like X-Files. Like he's doing, yeah, what's he doing this week where he's solving crimes and being pissed off and moody and smoking cigarettes?
Well, and Dresden's like the, you know, he's a magic detective, right? So you do the same thing for this. That would be, I think that would work. It's case to case, week to week. Maybe have a couple that are a couple weeks blocked together, but it's not just one overarching case like this. I think it makes
right,
sense.
Right, lots of little cases. Maybe they're interconnected, and then like the season finale, we find out there's a big bad that's been pulling the strings for all of these monsters. And Constantine let him out. That's it. There you go. Let's write it. We'll do it.
What would you guys give it as a rating?
This is our patented rating system. It's hard. I mean, as a standalone movie, for me, I think this is a good like six bats out of an ass out of 10, right? I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it, but I don't know if anyone else in my house would appreciate this movie. I would not show this to my kids. It's not super inappropriate, but I'd have to explain it later to my wife while I let them watch it. So I don't want that, right? So that's not going to happen. But it's got a high barrier of entry if you're not into this. Like, I think, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you really like this because you didn't need this background and you're into the occult stuff and whatever. And I think it's a much smaller audience. People who want to watch an animated short like this that has a tie to the DC universe that is that kind of movie that isn't going to want to watch just a straight up horror movie on the same topic, right? So I think you've got a much smaller audience for this, but I enjoyed it. So 6 out of 10.
I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 ass bats. I can't even say it because I'm giggling. 8 ass bats out of 10. I really love Constantine. I love the occult. I'm kind of with Chris, grew up Catholics, and so like, scares the crap out of me. The gore, again, surprised me. I thought that the movie was well-written and well-paced, and it makes me want to go do more, like read more Constantine or looking forward to more. And so whenever I'm interested in more of that, that's usually like, all right, that was a pretty good one because I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah, Lori, I'm going to second that on the 8 ass bats. I can't top ass bats. I really can't. Like,
that's our new permanent rating, by the way. We're going to get rid of thumbs. Everything else, just ass bats from here on out. 8 to 10 ass bats.
Batman Gotham by Gaslight. 7 ass bats.
7's steampunk ass bat.
There you go. Gotta tweak it just slightly. So before we head out, guys, any final thoughts on the movie you want to share with people?
I like this a lot. This is definitely a movie I can see myself watching again, even if I didn't like the other DC animated ones, but I did. And I'd like to see more of Constantine in general. I should pick up more and read some because I like this character a lot.
I really like this character. I do want to read more. I really think the movie was about Constantine dealing with his inner demons. It's like that was kind of the allegory we got in the beginning when he was fighting all his little demons that came out, you know, of him. And throughout it was like dealing with his own mistakes from the past coming back to haunt him. So go see it. Go see the movie, guys. Really good.
Yeah, the ending, just it's crazy how he's even more isolated now at the end of the day. Like, no matter what he tries to do, he's always losing. He's like the Charlie Brown of the DC universe. Right.
You know what reminds me of is every time in Batman they introduce some old friend, you're like, well, that guy's going to die by the end of this book. It's going to happen. You're never going to see him again. And that's what I feel about this. I was like, oh, he's got an old friend. That's a shame.
Don't get attached.
It's the red shirt of comics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think people should go watch this movie. It's worth the watch. If you go into it knowing it's kind of gory, like Jeremy, I warned you, it's like Wicked City. That way it doesn't shock you so much. Sorry, Lori, to have an analogy for you.
It's fine. I write gore. It's cool.
So, Jeremy, where can people find you?
You can find me here every other week watching movies with you, or you can find me on the Retrovaniacs podcast, where we talk about old video games instead on the other weeks.
And Lori?
You can find me moonlighting here on Movie Smash, where you can find me on the Tuesday Morning Brew, weekly on Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm on YouTube, Roku, I don't know. I'm on 11 different things all at the same time, and it's great. So come see me. But we're smashing some pumpkins and doing some shenanigans this end of October. So it'll be fun. Go watch that one.
And for me, you can always find me overall Panel Creations. I'm always over there building some piece of nerdy furniture. I want to thank you for spending some time with us today. And if you have a demon party you want to send an invite to us for, send it over to movie-smash.com. And we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. This has been Movie Smash with Chris Roberts, Jeremy Parmentier, and Fergal Amayo. Produced by me, Chris Roberts. Executive produced by Off Panel Creations, LLC. Movie clips provided by the respective studios. You can rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You might even find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for us? Visit us at movie-smash.com and send us a note. It too can be read on a future episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to Movie Smash wherever you listen to your podcasts.
That's our new permanent rating, by the way. We're going to get rid of thumbs. Everything else, just ass bats from here on out. 8 to 10 ass bats.